NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnansky, broadcasting from our best yet broadcast studios in Boston. NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplified. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. Now here's Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnansky.
Oh, there's the microphone box right now. I can hear myself. There we go. And yeah, it's gonna be hot out today, Rich. You got to turn your mic on there. Now you got to turn yours on. In three,
hello,
two,
test one.
One.
Ryan.
Yeah, it's gonna be a hot
mic
one
two.
Out there. There's
good. Gonna be hot, Mott.
I hear Fourier at the shed. Christian,
hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Fourier.
Yeah, I heard 90
hello,
degrees
Rich.
Today, right? They were saying
we're
it's
90.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
going to really open up.
like Al Gore said, there's global warming going on.
I know,
so
Mutt
today,
doesn't believe in that.
I woke up, it was 30 degrees, and now it's going to be 90 degrees later on.
Hey,
today.
If you don't like the weather, just wait 5 minutes. All right, come
on.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
I just had a little bit of fun.
I've never heard that
just
before. They used to say that in Colorado.
First time in a long time threw us back together NFL Sunday for a game that
–
I don't know. People,
can
I know,
we start over, please?
We can if you want. Three, two, one. And a good Sunday morning NFL Sunday here on Sports.
How are you?
Much better.
NFL Sunday.
Much better.
Yes.
We have a Patriots game coming up in 4 hours where the Patriots heading into the week felt like a pretty solid lock, but now all of a sudden injuries are piling up for the Patriots. They need to just get through this week, boys. Get through this week, get to the bye week, and get yourself set for the second half of the year. And they'll try to do that in Tennessee a couple hours from now.
It sounds like maybe no Gronk again, right? I mean, that's the thing, and we don't know for sure yet, but missing possibly three out of four games. But I like the idea of, hey, if he's not 100%, you have the bye week next week. I don't think you need him. And I know, Mike, you said you know the injuries are piling up, but they could play like they have guys like they have enough, I think, to beat Tennessee. I know Tennessee's the numbers looks pretty good defensively, but they don't score a lot of points. They can't score a lot of points. They're very limited on offense. It's really just Deion Lewis. So no Gronk is not going to change my prediction for the game.
Yeah, me neither. And earlier in the week, I was like, all right, great. This is like they have the perfect offense, right? They have the perfect type of offense to attack this defense and win the game based on, you know, what I say is the Detroit mentality, the Jacksonville mentality. But after I went back and looked at, like, two more games, I was like, no freaking way. The offensive line isn't anywhere near as good as Detroit's, and Detroit's looks like crap right now. But anyways, their running back, other than Deion Lewis, like
Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's awful.
I don't even know.
What happened to him?
I don't, you know what? It's funny. Like, when you look at it, it's like he's a big back, but he literally needs lots of space to get going. Like, he has no quick cut ability like Deion Lewis. That's why Deion Lewis is the starter now. That's why Deion Lewis is getting all the reps, because Derrick Henry can't get going.
Well,
he can't.
You'll see today, people have not watched him play before. He's not built for the current NFL. Like, there are guys.
He looks out of place, doesn't he?
Yeah, he looks like he should have played with Natron Means and those guys.
I don't necessarily agree, though. I think the biggest problem is that their offensive line sucks. I think their offensive line is really bad. When you look at the teams, if you have a back like that, that is like a big physical back, then you need to be able to – you have to be above average offensive line. The reason Deion Lewis is like one of the best in the NFL right now at yards after contact, because he's avoiding contacts in his own backfield. He's also doing it on the other side of the line of scrimmage, but he's doing it because guys are getting through. Offensive linemen are getting pushed back. They have one good offensive lineman, that's Taylor Lewan, that plays left tackle. Other than that, they all suck. They're all average to below average.
And Mariota, I think, is probably – you could describe him the same way, couldn't you? The average to below average. In the NFL today
– I don't know what he is. Honestly, I was hoping you guys had a better feel for what type of – you know, where he fits in the overall quarterback rankings in the NFL. But he came in with all this pomp and circumstance out of Oregon. He can run around. We saw it last week against the Cowboys on Monday night. He can throw on the run. He can run a sort of mobile, fast offense. But he's never, ever, A, stayed healthy, and B, put it together. So I don't know what he is. He feels like the right smack dab in the middle. If you're ranking the quarterbacks,
yeah, I'd say the low
right
end of
the
middle. I'd say the low end of the middle, and I think that he's a guy who you can't count on to play 16 games. First of all,
he's
a huge
never
problem. He's never going to be able to do that. And he can run. That's nice, but we've also seen that can't be your best thing as a quarterback. If that's another element, great. Like you can make it tough on defenses, great. But if that's your best thing, I think you're in trouble. And, you know, coming out of college, he had these insane numbers, you know, like his completion percentage was like 90% or whatever. But that's because he was just flipping the ball 3 yards. And now when you ask him to throw the ball downfield, I think Corey Davis is a pretty good receiver. They invested a high first round pick on him, but their connection doesn't seem to be there. I don't know, Forty, maybe you've seen Mariota more. I don't think he's great.
No, well, I was trying to compare him. I almost feel like he's a little bit has that, you know, Andrew Luck tinge about him. Like, you don't really know what his ceiling is because he's been hurt. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and even when he's healthy, you know, he throws a lot of picks. Like, that's what Andrew Luck does. And yeah, that whole college passer rating was so insane because not only was he just doing the quick screen stuff and the quick little dink and dunks, but when he did throw it downfield, the guys were so wide open. Right, it was like, are we really using this to quantify if this guy is good or not? But whatever, that's the guy that was coming out, so that's the guy you look at. And he tests well, he runs well, he's smart, you know, he's polite, you know, he's a good leader. Like, he checks all the boxes, then you just hope that he can run an NFL offense. He's just, I just think his ceiling, like what is the ceiling? Like, if you take a modern-day quarterback right now that had a lot of success, like, can he be Cam Newton? But not like Cam Newton. Can he have one really good year? Right, and then go to the Super Bowl.
Well, could
MVP,
he be like? Could he be Kaepernick?
Another bunch of crappy.
Could he be Kaepernick? The one year that Kaepernick put it all together, didn't throw a lot of picks, and was able to lead his team. It didn't, you know, look amazing.
Kaepernick
but
seems much more athletic than Mariota does to me. Right?
I don't know. Mariota is insanely fast. Like, he went at the combine, he was running like, you know, wide receiver type 40 times. But I just
but also Kaepernick came in the league like what he was like a novelty. It was like nobody knew how to attack him, nobody knew how to stop him. You know, but now everybody knows.
Yeah, they're
how
prepared
to
for it. Yeah,
yeah, so it's not as much of a surprise. That they figured it out. He's good. He's not great, right? I mean, he's a good quarterback.
It's incredible to think about in today's NFL, where, you know, Patrick Mahomes had a 6-touchdown passing game. Mariota has played in 7 games this year. He has 5 touchdown passes. 5, and 2 of them came last Monday.
That sounds about right. The offense, if you watch it, they have to resort to
rough.
Fake handoffs, yeah. The end around, the misdirection. That's the only way they're able to move the football because Derrick Henry and that offensive line Christian mentioned is not built for it. Deion Lewis is perfect for them. You're going to see a lot of Deion Lewis today on the dump down, check down type plays from Mariota. And from a Patriots standpoint, to me, this is the perfect opponent to face to end your first half, you know, heading into the bye. You just played maybe the best quarterback not named Tom Brady in the league. You put up a lot of time and effort into that. And by the way, you played really well, I thought, against Aaron Rodgers on Sunday night. Now you get Mariota on the road, bye week looming. This sets up is the perfect way to go into the bye because this team needs the bye. They are banged up, as we'll talk about throughout the course of the morning. And this Tennessee team, at least on paper, has no shot at getting into the 30s. And if you can't score 30 against the Patriots, you're not beating them. So I think this is a great spot on the road. The Vrabel factor, so Belichick can get his team more pumped up. I'm not going to lose to a coach back in the day. This is a perfect way to go into the bye week for the Pats. Perfect.
Yeah, and I think about just like Mariota, like what has been his problem? Like, he's going in his fourth year. I mean, he's had 3 different coordinators, so he's never really had anything, you know, consistent. Like, he's learning a new offense, new philosophy, new reasoning, like every single year. So now he gets Matt LaFleur, who was the offense coordinator with the Rams, who was the quarterback coach with the Falcons. You know, a totally younger, more, I guess, aggressive, creative offensive coordinator. Now, if he can just stay for, you know, 3 years, then maybe you'll really get to see what Mariota is capable of. But right now, I mean, Deion Lewis is really their only weapon. You like Corey Davis. I like Corey Davis also. But other than that, they don't have anybody.
No, that's
nothing.
It.
Nope.
Yeah, it's bad. They lost to Buffalo. You know, I mean, it's not to just oversimplify it, and I know
no,
things
I mean,
happen
week
to week. But they lost to – that's true. That's true. The week before, they beat Philly in overtime. It was a home game, so, you know, a better team at home. But then they lose, and Mariota played in this game, and they lost to Buffalo. So, I don't know. I mean, they got shut out by Baltimore, and I know they looked better against the Cowboys this past Monday night coming off their bye week. But what about the Vrabel angle, though, for you? Like, do you think – not that he was on the coach
The Vrabel angle.
Well, like, not only, obviously, he played for Belichick, but also the whole idea of, you know, practicing against Brady for so many years and just being on the team with Brady. So I even think that's more interesting to me than the Belichick relationship is the Brady relationship. Like, would he have anything. Like, I mean, Matt Patricia, I thought, did a nice job, you know, when he made the most of it in his opportunity against the Patriots this year, maybe how he schemed against Gronk or Brady or whatever. Is there some of that with Vrabel?
I would say, yeah. I mean, he was a linebackers coach in Houston. He was a defensive coordinator in Houston, worked under Romeo Crennel. Like, he has a lot of experience going against this. It's not like this is his first rodeo.
Right.
Where I mean, going, so it's like funny, like, now we're drawing, I feel like we're drawing more on his relationship with the Patriots as a player, as an actual defensive coach in the NFL. Like, what did he do as a defensive coach in the NFL against the Patriots? Well, he did the same thing Romeo Crennel did. Like, they all do the same thing. All those ex-coaches, they do the same thing. They don't blitz them. They play coverage. They rush four. They, every now and then, you know, they try to time out a blitz, try and get him. But you know, like, you know, what he's capable of doing. So, but at the same time, like, if I'm Mike, I'm like, I'm being like, you know, definitely a little bit more aggressive. And I keep forgetting that Dean Pease is there. So everybody's right. Been part of this program. Right? Dean Pease was here. He got kicked out, went to Baltimore, did a great job with Baltimore, and then Mike brings him back because they had a really good relationship when Dean Pease was here. So they have a lot of experience, not only how it works on the inside and their philosophy, but what they're capable of doing on offense and what defenses have to do to stop them.
Well, and on paper, they are a good defense. I mean, we will spend a lot of time on Malcolm Butler today, so I'm trying to avoid doing a lot of Butler here in the first segment of the show. But he is a guy that is maybe their biggest weakness, but you look around that front seven, they've done a great job stopping the run. You mentioned that Philadelphia game. They frustrated the hell out of Philadelphia. They have kept teams in the 20s. I just wonder if you sit back against Brady and a full compliment, not name, you know, Rob Gronkowski today, if you can afford to do that when your offense, when you know Marcus Mariota and that offense are going to struggle to get in the 20s, can you afford to let Brady pass up and down your field, sit back in that passive defense? I think Christian's right. The blitz numbers on Brady came out this week. He has not played well against the blitz. And if teams are looking to find a way to be different, start blitzing Tom Brady a little bit more. Yeah. I'm not sure Tennessee is going to be able to do that today.
Well, because I don't think you want to give Malcolm Butler and even Logan Ryan a whole lot of time to cover, right? Like, if you set back, I mean, those guys, they can't do that, right? And I don't think, no matter what the matchups happen to be, and I know we'll get into that coming up, but yeah, they're going to have to find a way to put pressure on Brady and do different things. And I know it's difficult to confuse him, but that's what they're going to have to do. And they do. They have a pretty talented defense. I think the numbers are a little misleading. Like, I would never consider Tennessee a dominant defense by any means. And I know what points per game or points allowed, they're number one. And that's a stat that Belichick cares about. That's the one that he always points us to. That's the one where the Patriots were so bad to begin last year, but then they ended up in the top five.
And so some of that's a byproduct of their schedule they play so far.
I think so, too. Yeah.
They play in that crappy division.
Yeah, I would say, well, the division, and then even some of their non-division games, like, they play low-scoring games. Like, that's sort of what they do. They're one of the few teams in the NFL that still play. Like, they've never scored 30 yet this year, whereas there are other teams where, you know, the Steelers, they talk about how 30's nothing. Like, they need to score 40. And then they scored 50 the other night. Like, that, the NFL's different, so you don't get a lot of games in the teens and in the 20s, but that's how Tennessee wants to play it. So their defense is certainly the strength of their team. I wouldn't put them up there as one of these great all-time defenses.
No, they have not shown it yet. And it sets up well for the Patriots today. Going against an offense, it's going to struggle. You have the Vrabel factor, I guess, but it's going to be an extra motivator for Belichick. He's not going to want to lose a game to a guy he played for. It's Brady's first game, obviously, going against a guy he played with in Mike Vrabel. So unless Tennessee's able to score a special teams touchdown, able to score a defensive touchdown, the Patriots offensively just look too good on paper in this game. And obviously a subplot is going to be Malcolm Butler and how he plays. And there is new news today, amazingly, on Malcolm Butler, which we'll get to. It's 617-779-7937, the phone number. Yes, well, we don't know that yet, but Ian Rappaport has some news about
it. Is he crying?
He's crying. He might be.
We'll
the way Amari Cooper tortured him in that game the other night. It's going to be a lot of Josh Gordon and Malcolm Butler today in Tennessee. That kickoff at 1 o'clock, which we'll spend most of the show talking about. I did want to spend a couple of minutes here in this first segment talking about, maybe it would sit with the Patriots on the road, the biggest football game in New England.
Ooh,
yeah. That was 27-7 last night, BC and Clemson. College game day was in town. It was a huge story, huge deal. The BC superfans, to their credit, showed up. They were lined up at like 4:45 yesterday morning.
They're fired up.
Did a great job with game day. And they they were going to be like Tennessee, the Tennessee Titans.
One, two, three.
Everything was going to have to go right for BC to not only forget win the game, but be competitive in that game.
Yeah.
And to their credit, they were competitive, but right in the first series, their one A offensive player, Anthony Brown, goes down. And that essentially was it. You know, they hung around in the first half. They were outgained in the first half.
Tough spot for a backup quarterback.
282-48, and we're in the game at halftime.
They were outgained
on the total yardage, 282-48. But with E.J. Perry and not Anthony Brown at quarterbacking that team, they had no shot. Their defense gets all the credit. But you saw in that game what elite talent versus sort of middle of the road talent can do, and that was Clemson BC last year.
I mean Clemson, yeah. I mean they were lucky, especially going to the backup quarterback so early. They were lucky the game was as close as it was, and their only touchdown came on a punt return, which really
they
shouldn't
gave them
have counted.
A lead button, 7-6.
It should not have counted. It hit a Clemson player. They didn't see it. It hit a Clemson player, and then
it was a weird non-review.
And they're like, "Hey, touchdown!" And then they didn't even talk about it on the broadcast. They're like, "Yeah, it looks like it hit a guy." I'm like, "Do I not know the rules?" I'm like, "Well, maybe I don't." And then they returned it for a score, and that was great. And it gave them some momentum, gave them a little bit of juice. I think the Clemson players, a lot of them, were cold. I honestly do.
I think that was an issue.
Yes, when it's warm, they score 70 points. When it's cold, not as much. But they just have so much talent. I was saying this the other day. They're sort of the new University of Miami. Like, remember when the U would just every year they'd be in the national championship conversation and they would have like 5 first round picks? Clemson has turned into that. Clemson has made the tournament, what, the last 3 years? They've been in the finals 2 of the last 3 years. They just have, and you look around the NFL, wide receivers, running backs, even quarterbacks with Deshaun Watson.
Tight ends, Dwayne Allen.
Dwayne Allen. Jeez. They're just loaded with Clemson players. They're the new wagon now in college. I mean, them and Alabama, obviously, are the two teams that just pump out pros like crazy.
Yeah, I will say, though that I wasn't able to watch the whole game because I was in the car driving back from New York City. But it was for them, I know you can blame it on the cold, but that's, to me, I'm not a huge fan of moral victories. But based on the fact that you basically – you don't have an offense anymore. Like, you lose your quarterback, and you're heavily relying on the run in the first place.
And by the way, A.J. Dillon, turns out, is dealing with a bum ankle. And you could tell last night he was nowhere near as explosive. So you had no quarterback. Christian's right. And you had A.J. Dillon on 1.5.
The defense has to be thrilled with how they played, considering what Clemson has done to the rest of the league.
And that's my point. With no support whatsoever, that defensive front for Clemson is the best in college football. So, hands down.
They got a kid from Framingham on there, too.
Yes, via Springfield, I guess. I'm not sure.
Yeah, something like that. He went to Framingham High, then he went to Suffield or something. He's like, there's a story there.
He might have to get paid a little bit.
There's a story there. I can dig into that.
But I would say based on that alone, like, you gotta feel happy about your performance. they didn't hit 70 on you. Right? I mean, give me a break. I think the other highest score of this weekend was like, 60-50, something like that? UConn? Did you see the UConn score?
UConn-SMU, I watched much of that game yesterday.
What was that? Awful. The final score was like 60-52?
62-50, your final.
It's a basketball score!
It was
score.
Awful. It was like, there are more people on this show today, more people on NFL Sunday, and if you include Garvin producing, than were at that UConn game yesterday. And more people that were at the UMass game at Gillette Stadium. Holy crap. 72% of the stadium empty for UMass BYU.
BYU, yeah.
I don't know why UMass does that either. I don't know why they do it. Like, they got a great little stadium right on campus. I mean, it's perfect for their student body. They can walk across by their dorms and go there. I don't know why they want to play in Gillette's freaking stadium.
By the way, BC has another huge game coming up in 2 weeks. They got Syracuse, who won again.
Well, they're Florida State, who stinks.
Florida State
is
no good. Yeah,
and
Syracuse
in a couple of weeks. Maybe it's a moral victory for one night, but let's project this forward. So you play your best defensive game of the year, and you're still not close. I know it's 27-20. I know BC covered the 20.5. Congrats to those who laid out. They could not move the ball. It was not competitive offensively. E.J. Perry was never going to drive them downfield. So let's say Brown left with the injury, and they're calling it an internal injury, and left right away and went to the hospital. Let's say he's out for an extended period.
Didn't he blow out his knee last year?
He did.
Is that what happened?
It was actually a year ago, almost to the day, where he came back. So Dylan's hurt. Brown is banged up. E.J. Perry starts at quarterback next week against Florida State. And this defense knows, okay, we can play our best game ever. Christian's right. They played great against this kid, Lawrence, the freshman, the Clemson quarterback, who's a true freshman, and he's awesome.
Trevor Lawrence with the hair. Cut your hair. Hippie.
Running around.
Sunshine.
Jerry called him Sunshine.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how he plays. The kid is awesome.
Like, he's good.
That's the difference, right? So Clemson beginning of the year, Dabo Swinney, the senior starting quarterback, was pretty good.
Yeah,
and
sure.
They said, you're done. We're trying to beat Alabama. Right. You go to the bench. We're starting this true freshman, Sunshine, mm-hmm. and he is awesome. On the road, first game north of the Mason-Dixon. Is that what the big stat they had last night, cold weather?
Like
almost
cold.
300 yards,
yeah.
Ran for a touchdown, threw one. You know, it felt like he was, to me, in complete control, even with that late pick. He was one of the best offensive player on the field, and that's the guy they went to. They go to E.J. Perry when Brown goes down. Where'd you say he went to school? He went to, like, Andover High School?
He went to Andover High.
Framingham.
Not Phillips Andover. No. E.J. Perry, the backup quarterback for BC, was from Andover. Not Phillips Andover. Just regular old Andover.
What'd you say
out
there? Not the good Andover.
Not prep school. Yeah, not the good Andover. Just regular old Andover. Their team is loaded. I was looking at their roster. They have 8 kids from Lawrence Academy, including A.J. Dillon. And we played them in high school. That was, I mean, they killed us, but they weren't like a factory. Whereas Clemson has guys from, you know, like St. Thomas Aquinas and like all these like real powerhouse schools.
Well, they recruit anywhere they want. I mean,
they get anybody. Yeah, you see like, you know, their offensive line or whatever, and it's Georgia, Florida, it's South Carolina, mm-hmm. it's wherever they want to go. But yeah, they're impressive. So if you're BC,
all right, so let me finish that thought.
I know where you're going.
So you go EJ Perry next week. Dylan's hobbled, and the defense knows they can't score. Doesn't this have the chance? And they're a win away from being in the college football playoff conversation. They beat Clemson last night. Might not have been a legitimate conversation, but it would have been.
No, but if they win out,
if they had won out, they could have been in. Now the quarterback's hurt. The running back's banged up. Moral victory aside, the defense knows they can't score. Can't this go the other way?
This is 7-5 playing in the Pinstripe Bowl.
Exactly. 100%. What it feels like.
You're going back to the Pinstripe
Bowl. And you were that
close.
Yeah, you were leading 7-6 over Clemson, and now it feels like 7-5 in a bad bowl game.
Yeah, because it feels like you don't.
On a blue field in Boise.
Now, I still think they lose, but like you don't. There's so much uncertainty. Like, if Anthony Brown plays the whole game, like, could you have done something? Like, would the game have been closer? I don't know. Maybe they would have thrown the football. Could you have moved the ball?
You would have gotten more than
all?
98 total yards offensively last night.
Can we just say that BC's never going to beat Clemson. They're never going to beat Bama.
Probably not.
I mean, their best case scenario is to have a couple seasons where they challenge those guys, beat those guys. But the recruiting pool, the difference between the pond that Clemson swims in and the pond that BC swims in is so vastly
different.
It's ridiculous. Right, so you know what you do? You find guys like Luke Kuechly. When Luke Kuechly, he was like a
How the hell did they get him?
He was like a strong safety out of I want to say Pennsylvania or something that. I don't know if I'm right or not, but they found him, they developed him, and I remember I did a BC game against Wake Forest, for ESPN, Deportes. I don't know what the hell it was.
It's a good channel.
And I remember Tim Fox's son was a cornerback also. And I remember sitting down talking to Luke. I was like, "I don't know what the big deal about this guy is.
He's great. He's from Ohio.
Okay, that's what it was. So
he was a 3-star recruit. That's why.
Yeah,
he was a 3-star recruit coming out of high school.
And then he was a stud. I mean, they're always putting guys out. They're always putting guys out into the NFL. They just can't necessarily, put it all together.
Well, usually they're an offensive line factory. I mean, BC for years and years and years, it was an offensive lineman every year would get drafted.
That and tight ends, right? Chimura, they've got a bunch of tight ends.
Yeah, sure.
Mike Cloud never made it like I thought he was
going to. Mike Cloud, William Green
was
awesome. How good was William Green?
Pete Mitchell was a
BC guy. Ooh, Pete Mitchell, Maverick.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan.
Was he Detroit Lion? Am I have that right? No, I forget.
Yeah, but they Scott Mitchell.
I'm sorry.
The great quarterback, Scott.
Maybe Miami Dolphin. I know the final score is going to get moral victory. For one night, Adazio can spin this a moral victory. This thing is going to spiral out of control. And you're going to be
they led
7-6 against Clemson, and now they're playing.
Remember the Pinstripe Bowl. Well, it's funny. I was looking this up the other day when we spent our 3 minutes on our show about BC football, and I was looking at it. 2007 with Matt Ryan, when they were number 2 in the country for a week, they ended up playing in the Champ Sports Bowl. Like, it seems like even when you get, the last time they were in a bowl of relevance was Flutie. Like, that was the last time. They've had a lot of bowl seasons, and even they had a couple of double-digit win seasons, but they end up in, the Meineke Car Care every year.
Yeah. Well, I will say this, though. The other thing, compared to other programs, they're stable. At least their program is stable. Like, there's not, any craziness going on. There's, the coach isn't going to get fired. They kind of know who they are. And,
yeah, but isn't that kind of boring? I understand what you're saying about them, and they've had a coach now in Adazio for a while. But it's those teams that are kind of off the hinges that can pop a 12-1 season, and you're like, how the hell did this happen? Because maybe they get a little shady with the recruiting, or maybe they do something right. And those are the teams you're like, look at this team.
That's not
look
them.
At Baylor's awesome. I love Baylor. How the hell did Baylor get good?
Would you want your coach to get fired because he's turning a blind eye to rape and like?
Well, no, 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 not like, that. No, not that. Not that. Want, no, no, no. Don't put
words
in my mouth.
Where's the happy medium? No. So if Baylor,
well, like
if
Ole Miss,
full-fledged Baylor. Oh, Ole Miss.
Oh, remember the year Ole Miss?
I'll do Ole Miss.
They had the number one recruiting class. Yes. Like Ole Miss got the number one recruiting class.
And we found out why 8 months later.
We did.
Every guy went pro. After 3 years, every guy went pro.
They did. And then they were incredible.
And then their coach got nabbed. Hugh Freeze got nabbed for like just. Strippers and hookers and stuff like that.
Listen, you gotta get guys to go to your program.
Hey,
that's what it comes down to.
I'm down. Let's do
it. I'm sure the Colorado recruiting process was by the book.
No, no, no. It's funny. No, come on. Are you kidding me? You can tell right away if a team gets good in a hurry. Like, because the only way they can do it is to get the players. And the only way to get the players out of some other big school is to kind of entice them some other way.
Where was Rashawn Salaam from?
Rashawn Salaam played 8-man football, man, out of San Diego, like some small school in North County, San Diego.
What about Slash?
No, but it was the Cordell Stewarts and the guys out of Texas.
Yeah, how did you get those guys?
Well, see, all that work has been done.
Ray Kreutz a free man, by the way.
He is.
Ray Kreutz out there walking around with regular people right now.
He's going on recruiting trips up in the Buffalo's recruit right now. And that's the other thing.
I'm Ray Kreutz.
You're right about this, though. Yeah. They are what they are, and I think there were probably thousands of fans who had not watched a BC game in years before last night and thought they heard the hype for it. Thank you, Garner.
Thought they'd dip in.
And decided, and they're hearing this and going, what the hell? So they tune in last night, and they get that. And if you're trying to get people excited about your program, E.J. Perry, 12 of 21, can't move the football, ain't going to do it. Like Anthony, with Brown and Dillon, there's a chance to get people excited. When you play that type of football, I know it's old school defensive minded football, you flip on the NFL today, it'd be four games in the 40s. And so when
they need to get better on offense. Their offense is like, I'm all for running the football, but nowadays you got to be able to throw it.
Yeah,
you can't play
school.
This whole old school. Like that's what LSU used to do, and they still kind of do it. And with all the talent
and how did that
have,
work out? How'd that work out against Alabama?
Right.
Well,
they also had Leonard Fournette. You know, if you're talking about some of the LSU teams, some of their running backs a little bit different than. And I like AJ Dillon, like good for him, but like that wasn't working. Last
yeah, maybe
night.
The game
and
is different with Brown, but if you flip that over and you hope to grab the attention of some of the sports fans here, where they're competing with the Patriots and the Bruins and Celtics underway, 27-7 with no offense didn't do it. Didn't do it.
No.
And so now we'll see.
Did they cover?
They covered. Yeah,
no,
they were getting 20.5.
See, I saw 19.5. So I guess depending on where you're going.
I saw 20 and a half.
Okay, fair enough.
And I would have lost
that's
that
real,
if I had
real
played.
Shame.
617.
So that is our college football minute.
The college football minute.
No.
That was your college
football minute. I can't believe we actually devoted like a good 10, 15 minutes.
It was a big game last night.
How about this? I'm impressed.
I think part of
the problem is nobody freaking talks about them.
I see two BC calls on the board right now for you. They want to talk to you about college football this morning. So we'll mix those in addition to a huge game today for the Patriots to get into the bye week. And
who's your Heisman pick for you?
Continuation. Anyone not named? Yeah, everyone. No, Tua. That's these.
No, Kyler Murray.
Man.
Who? Kyler
the
Murray.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma quarterback is incredible. Yeah, you want to get your mind blown? Check out Kyler Murray's high school stats. He's like the kid from Friday Night Lights.
YouTube.
No. Well, yeah, sure. Do that too. And he's a guy who's a first round pick by like the Oakland A's. He's actually going to play baseball. He's an incredible story. But his high school stats are so stupid. Like he had to have averaged like 300 passing, 200 rushing in every game just for it to add up. It's wild.
Okay.
So he's there you go. There's my Heisman man.
It's better than that kid out of Alabama that everybody wants to anoint as the second coming.
Tua? No, I don't like Tua.
Overrated.
He had a bad game.
What don't you like about
overrated.
Tua?
Overrated.
I'm a 4A.
He's no different than any. He's
properly
no different than
rated.
Any
he's one
other,
of the best
dude,
quarterbacks
no.
in the country. He's properly rated.
I don't like him.
What is
no.
he? Something about him. I don't
we're
like
so
him.
Overrated.
I don't like the
you're
look.
Right,
he's
Rich.
Got a big arm.
Right.
He's accurate.
Right.
What's
right.
wrong?
You're right.
I don't know. Every Jalen
I don't like
put
Nick
up
Saban.
But
I,
thank you,
I
Rich. Thank you.
It's an anti-Saban thing.
No.
It might be somebody else you would love. If Tua played for, if he'd stayed home in Hawaii and played in Hawaii, he was playing with the Rainbows
with Timmy Chang and Paul Brennan.
Yes.
You were the biggest Timmy Chang fan. I recall that from a long time ago. 617-779-7937, the phone number. We will talk an hour from now. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, will join us. And there is some news today on Malcolm Butler, potentially Rob Gronkowski. We'll talk to Florio about that. We'll talk to Tommy Curran later on in the show. We'll get to your phone calls, and we'll introduce the topic that is never, ever, ever going to end. That is Malcolm Butler and the Patriots. NFL Sunday, Sports Radio, WEEI. Weather. Well, here in Boston, sunny but cold. Temperatures peaking in the 90s.
NFL Sunday with Fourier, Mudd, and Keefe is presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplify. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. Back to NFL Sunday on Sports Radio WEEI.
Malcolm has struggled a little with Malcolm Butler. He's allowing a great volume of catches. One service, scouting service, has most in my quarterback in the NFL. Is he doing
anything? A lot to me.
Okay, but is he doing anything differently this year?
I mean, they lead the league in defense. Okay, so that's our challenge. As an offense, is we're playing 11 guys, we're playing their coaching staff and the schemes they put up against us. And right now they're playing better defense than anybody in the league. So we'll see how we do. I don't know. It'll be tough, I know that.
Bill Belichick earlier in the week would not go near Malcolm Butler, Logan Ryan, any of the former Patriot defensive backs now playing for the Tennessee Titans. This is NFL Sunday, Muttkey Fourier. Sports Radio WEEI, your phone calls in this segment. And amazingly, he is still the biggest story. I get that there is a game here today, Patriots-Titans, which we'll talk about. Malcolm Butler and his situation, his exit, his current status is still looming over this team, which what I thought this week was embarrassing revisionist history on Malcolm Butler, led by Greg Bedard, Chris Gasper, and your guest, Peter King. These three guys pretending Malcolm Butler was not a good player or suggesting that because he's not played well in the beginning of 2018, the first half of the year, and he's not played well, that is somehow justification for benching him and not playing him in the Super Bowl is comical at best. And the reaction from those three guys in particular and callers who are now wanting to pat Belichick was disgusting. And I am officially rooting for Malcolm Butler to be the greatest cornerback of all time and have 9 interceptions today based on the way those clowns dealt with this week. Did you guys buy into any of this Malcolm Butler stuff this week?
I didn't buy any of that. It drove me nuts that you would even have football people suggest that. You know, I just don't get it. Now, Peter King, when we talked to him, I think he was more saying, you know, maybe Malcolm Butler's not very good anymore, where I felt like the other guys were saying, oh, it makes all the sense in the world. You don't play him. You play him every single snap leading up to the Super Bowl, but now you know that he's not good. And then even comparing what he did against Philadelphia this year, like that has anything to do with the
Insane.
Super Bowl?
Insane.
That is wild. Like, I've never heard anything like that. So my comparison was, so Darrelle Revis was awful the year after he left the Patriots. So should he have been benched in the Super Bowl that year? Should he have not have played in that Super Bowl? Like, Fourier, I don't get it at all. I mean, the two seasons don't, it's two different teams. It's everything.
Well,
everything is different.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I know a lot of people are like taking victory laps. When I saw it, I was like, I just said, you know, listen, it shouldn't be a surprise. Like, I was like, well, okay, there's another reason why he probably didn't play. Because not that he didn't deserve to play, but after like talking to ex players and former players and trainers, it's almost like I forget the way Bill is and how he's wired. So if you're taking out the fact that it's not a discipline issue, right? We're ruling that out. No concerts, no nothing. So what is it? Like, what the freak? What's the logical explanation? They didn't trust him. That's it. You can break that down as much as possible. Well, why didn't they trust him? Well, we can sit there and say, listen, he had a rough year, wasn't his best. They'll look at it totally different. They'll look at it completely differently. And then if he's struggling during practice, and just like a receiver who's dropping passes or jumping off sides or not lining up right, you're sitting there going, I'm not starting this guy.
Well, let me ask you this. If he had, let's say, 2 more years on his contract, would he have played in the game?
Yes. No.
Yes,
no.
He would have. Absolutely would have.
No.
I think the
no.
contract
I,
absolutely
would have. The contract?
Absolutely.
Yes. I don't think any of that matters. I honestly don't think. Here's what I do think matters. Incentives. Sorry. Incentives matter. I'm getting choked up because I got screwed out of mine. That's why.
Do you have incentives?
What am I missing here?
Yeah. Okay. My incentives. Yeah. Yeah. Incentives. No, I think they chart those things. But to me, that makes no. Why is that logical? You're going to hold him out for what? He's not coming back anyways. Well, why are you holding him out because of a contract? Explain that to me.
Oh, I just think because he was upset that, because they offered him, and we have more information on this, but they offered him a contract the year before. He turned it down. He was trying to wait and get more money. So I think they were upset with that. So he's not a part of their future plans at all. And so I'm not doubting that maybe, you know, he was sick that week. Maybe it wasn't his best week of practice, but that is sort of an odd time to all of a sudden, for the first time all season long, say, you're not going to play at all. Not only are you not going to start, you're not going to play when Nick Foles is carving up the team. So something was still on their mind. They were upset with him. I think maybe even all season long they were bothered by it, and then it ultimately came to a head
and
in the Super Bowl.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, I think that, you know, Rich is right to a point, because before that, you know, the argument ends up being, well, why did he play 100% of the snaps? Because, you know, Eric Rowe wasn't healthy. He finally got healthy for the Super Bowl, and they thought that at that point he was a better player. It was a terribly bad call by them from a positional standpoint. Eric Rowe got burned early and I guess played better as, you know, Glenn is hammered for 9 months as the game went on.
Johnson Badamosi played over him.
Jordan Richards, they both missed huge tackles that led to first downs or touchdowns. And so they decided those guys were better, and it was the wrong play. To now pretend that it was the right play because he's not playing well this year makes no sense to me.
Well, you see, my thing is I look at it, I go, so you're telling me that Bill wouldn't play Malcolm Butler either because he was trying to make a point or because he was holding a grudge? Right? Is that what we're saying?
I think that is
part of a bigger issue.
It's the Super Bowl.
He didn't like the attitude. Butler, we heard. Well, hold on. We heard reports that Butler, you know, as much as he was there and he went through, was there every day and worked on, like, and most players did, he was complaining at times about the contract. So the attitude of Malcolm Butler.
The week of the Super Bowl?
No, just in general. The last couple of years there, he wanted that big money, and he didn't get that big money.
But how does that relate to, so that affected his play?
In their mind, it did. Yes, the attitude was leading to, you said they didn't trust him, right? That was your
line. I think the contract definitely affected
his play. I think that his attitude and his attitude towards the contract affected that trust level.
I think that was a year-long thing that he had.
Yeah, but so how does he play in 100% of the snaps against the Jaguars in the AFC Championship game? Because if they knew that he was bad, then you're blowing a pretty big opportunity. Like, maybe you don't get to the Super Bowl because of him. If you thought he was that bad, how does he not even come off the field in that game? And
well,
then
I can
2 weeks
say
later,
this.
He doesn't even sniff it.
I can say this. So, just my own personal experience, how these things work. Because, I'm trying myself to figure it out. So, I remember, like, there was a couple guys in the AFC, divisional round. I think it was actually Dan Graham. Like, had a crappy game, right? They were trying to figure out ways to get him the ball, fumbled, missed blocks. He was a big part of the offense. He didn't play in the AFC Championship game against the Colts. Didn't play. Like, he came in, I think, on PAT and goal line, but he never went out for a pass. They flat out said, you know, and he had played the entire year. He just didn't play. So.
So what was that, 03, 04?
It was the first one, right? 03.
So the reason why I would say that's a little bit different, though, so 03, so they make an adjustment, but then you ended up winning that game, and you won the next game. Like, whereas this game was different. Like, all of a sudden, you're losing, and your defense was terrible. So if that was your game plan, I don't even like the idea of not starting him, but I've at least been talked into, okay, they know more than I do, fine, you want the matchup, whatever. But as the game is going on, Belichick is famous for his in-game adjustments, including Malcolm Butler himself. The whole reason Malcolm Butler became a household name was because he was a late addition against the Seahawks.
So he's stubborn then. So Bill's just stubborn. See,
he's absolutely
stubborn. None of it. Hold on. But you just said that he isn't. You just said,
He won't even wear the camo stuff.
That's different. You just said that he's great at in-game adjustments.
He won't mention Malcolm Butler's name the week they're playing him.
He does that with everybody.
Yeah,
but that's stubbornness.
He's good at in-game adjustments, but back in 2014, he didn't have a grudge against Malcolm Butler.
I just feel like there's no reason not to put him in. It's random. I just think it's so random. So I try not to be affected by the noise and go, okay, what's he like? Like, what's his track record that I know about him as far as these types of situations? So, because if you had to make a decision, the reason is what? Like, you get one reason, all of us, right? It's because what? He was screwing around at night. He was pissed off. He was sick.
No,
what is it?
No, because that would have come out by now. I don't buy any of that.
He thought he could win without him, and he was being stubborn by not putting him in the game. I mean, that's the stubbornness of deciding those guys we can make it happen with Badamosi, Richards, and Rowe, and we don't need this player today.
Because you remember what happened when they franchised Welker, and they said, all right, we're going to work out a long-term deal with Wes Welker. And he was like, no, I want more money than that.
Then the next thing you know, he's getting jerked around. He's not starting a bunch of
games. Remember, it was ironically against the Titans. They came out and threw to Edelman the entire
opening part of the game. They had the gall. People, the defenders were saying, well, you know, Edelman's a better blocker, and they were running the ball. Like, what? Like, Wes Welker was all pro. Like, he was putting up these insane numbers, and Belichick clearly was affected by the contract talks. And he started jerking him around. And then I think that was definitely a big part of what happened with Butler.
So add this into the conversations. This is just a couple of hours ago. Headline from Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, and I'm sure we'll talk about this.
Ian freaking Rappaport.
On the network.
He's the
NFL
outsider. He is the problem.
Hold on. Why is he the problem?
Just read the report.
Okay. Patriots still had interest in Butler despite Super Bowl benching. He writes, the untold story of Super Bowl benching may in fact remain untold. There are still several people directly involved who don't know all the details. But during the free agency period that immediately followed, Malcolm Butler remained on the Patriots' radar. As the Titans' cornerback had set to face his old team, it's worth noting, Rappaport says, New England was still interested in re-signing Butler at the right price, sources say. Butler ended up signing a 5-year, $61 million deal in Tennessee, but the Patriots, even with the events against the Eagles that oddly left Butler watching every snap from the sidelines, informed Butler's agent, Derek Simpson, to reach out to them if he didn't get an offer to his liking. Already paying top corner Stephon Gilmore, the Patriots perhaps could have paid Butler around $10 million a year. He adds that fact only adds the curiosity of Butler, a situation that features both sides actually feeling good about each other. So he is saying that after all this stuff, after all the back and forth,
right?
The Patriots still were willing to re-sign him at the right price, which seems insane to me.
That seems absolutely insane.
I'm not surprised by that. What? They want a deal. They want a deal. I mean, like, listen, they know, like, if he goes out there, I mean, because the similar thing happened with Julian Edelman. Hey, go out and test the market. Hey, Dante Hightower, go out and test the market. Okay,
yeah, but those guys want to be involved in the Super Bowl for you. This is so different. So
my thing is, like, from my dealings with them.
Yeah.
If they like you, like, those little things, like, you're not going to keep them from signing you. Like,
you think the player would come back? Like,
well,
that's
another story.
No, there's right, but
another story.
After all that, you just embarrass the guy. You shame him. He's crying on the sideline.
Well, hold on,
dude.
Here's
the
thing.
Come on back.
Again, like, I'm done with this whole bull crap. Like, he doesn't know. He freaking knows why he didn't play. He knows why he didn't play. It's his fault. It's only his fault that he didn't play. And then the fact that he's like, I don't know, they lost faith in me. I could have made a difference. You know,
right, so what is it then?
What do you know? I want him to tell me. Because if
like
I didn't
you
play,
know something. Sounds like
no,
you
I don't.
Sources. Hashtag sources say.
I have
he's
no sources.
It for week 10 NFL Sunday. For
I
him,
have
what
no
is
sources.
It?
None. Believe me, I've talked to so many people. I'm sure you guys have also. And everybody's giving me a different answer. I honestly thought it was, I heard from a really, really reliable source that he came late. I mean, we're talking one person removed from that building, and he came late, and he got in an argument with Bill's son while he was checking in, going back into his room. Like that, and I was like, get out of here. Okay, well, that makes sense. And then come to find out, it ain't true.
Right.
So, I don't know. All I know is that the only person –
So why is that
play,
his fault, though? You said it's all – Butler knows and it's his fault. Why isn't
he's a,
it Be-
– Oh, he's
why
a
isn't
starter. He lost his
fault?
Job.
Why
he's
is
a
it,
starter. He lost his job.
For,
now,
for
whose
what
fault
reason?
Is that?
For what reason?
The only reason why a coach who likes you is going to take your job away is if either you do something stupid or they don't trust you or you look like you suck. Like, that's it.
I know, but they played guys who suck. Like, that's my problem with it. Like, you play, like, eight defensive
backs in
the game.
Okay, looked like he sucked. They played him every snap the two games prior.
Then what happened in a matter of 2 weeks?
You tell me, Insider Fourier. Let's go.
No, Ian Rappaport.
We got nothing.
I got nothing.
He also said Josh Gordon was going to miss a quarter, so who's to say?
And he started and played well.
So who's really to say?
Can we take his Insider card away from him now since he's wrong?
Gone.
It's gone. Seriously.
We will hear from him at 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We are trying to piece together this latest news here that they were going to offer him a contract if the price is right, which seems kind of crazy given everything that happened. He will face the Patriots today, and you know, given Bill's track record of wanting to prove a point, it is not going to surprise me if they decide to go against Malcolm Butler and throw his way with Josh Gordon. We'll get to that and your calls. NFL Sunday, Sports Radio, WEEI.
More on NFL Sunday. Right now, with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mutnatsky on Sports Radio WEEI.
You know, Bill Belichick, great coach, and he make good decisions. We all make good decisions. We make bad decisions. Obviously, it didn't work out good for me, him, or the New England Patriots organization, but he called a shot. So, I mean, it is what it is, man. I'll just say preparation is the best way to win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe, you know, they didn't see 100% mentally or physically Malcolm Butler that they usually see.
That was Malcolm Butler back in July, sounding very relaxed. He sat with Colleen Wolf, I believe it was, of the camera NFL Network. Certainly is. NFL Sunday, Mutt, Keith, and Fourier, Sports Radio, WEEI. This is a line that really bothered me from Gasper's article. The Patriots lost while Johnson, Batamosi, and Jordan Richards flailed at Philly receivers. But it's hard to argue that Belichick's decision does not look better now than it did at the time. It seems posterity always bends the Patriots' way. Like his new NFL home, Butler's play has gone south. Oh, no, I'd say it's very, 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 very hard to argue that because of Malcolm Butler and the way he's played right now can have any effect on the decision of Super Bowl last year.
What's Jordan Richards doing right now?
He is playing safety for the Atlanta Falcons full-time.
After getting cut
by
the Patriots.
He did get cut, yes.
Okay, so he got cut by the Patriots. Malcolm Butler actually made a lot of money with the Tennessee Titans. What's Johnson Batamosi doing?
Batamosi playing special teams, I believe, for Arizona.
Nice. Mm. Good for him.
At least he's in Arizona.
That's true.
Let's go to your phone calls. Johnson Gardner wants to say I'm so right, so we'll take his call first. John, good morning. Shocker.
Christian, well, Rich, yes. SS, good morning. How are you all doing?
What's up, John? Good morning.
You know what XS is, right, Mike?
I have no idea, no.
X Factor Supreme.
Oh, thank you, buddy. Yes, it's my wife calls me XS.
I don't think you get enough credit for putting out before Game 4, but that the first phase tandem was going to be the X Factor going forward.
Yeah, people forget that, John.
Yeah, they do.
You remember, John, you have a good memory. You're a diehard P1. Thank you for reminding people that I occasionally get one right.
Memory, I don't think I'm going to be able to remember all of the scenarios, but I listened to, Mark with the C, we listened to him, so we'll be in the know.
Yeah.
We've heard the theory about Malcolm and Steve Belichick getting into it, right?
Yes,
we've heard that one.
But after the mix, we had the other one. There was another one that was equally plausible.
Yeah.
But
well, there was a concert. I mean, there was a concert, and
Rick Ross.
He was smoking weed at a Rick Ross concert or something, which ended up not being true.
Which ended up, that concert was like a year earlier. Yeah. That couldn't have been right.
I heard a lot of Belichick apologists yesterday.
Yes, yes.
The guy's a great coach, but he's a human. He's not infallible. Oh. I think he's got a stubborn streak real wide. And, Christian, I hear you shooting down stuff, but I think there was some underlying issue. I don't know what. But then he got stubborn, and he thought right up until the end he was going to be able to pull it off without playing him. Mm-hmm. And people that think that undersell how much it affected, don't you think that having him in there – would have perhaps strengthened all the other aspects
it
of the team.
It doesn't make – nothing makes sense. It doesn't.
You're so right, John. Thank you.
Today, I guess I'll be a sports talk therapist.
Oh, God.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Who is that?
That's Mark James.
I called him Urban Liar. He's a complete fraud.
Oh, God. The you.
It's a good line, though, Urban Liar.
It's perplexing.
But that is a part of it. These people that are now, you know, going back and giving Belichick credit for the decision. When we mocked
it's
for months. So if Malcolm Butler had, if he had been playing well in for 8 games in Tennessee or whatever it is, would they be saying the decision was worse? No, I'd say they're two completely separate matters. This year does not affect the decision of last year's Super Bowl.
No, that's the worst one. The other one is, you know, they didn't re-sign him and they should take a victory lap for that too, where that also is kind of lucky because he could have signed a deal. Now, it wouldn't have been as much money, right, as what he got with the Titans, so he ended up doing the right thing. He and his agent were smart about it, but he could have signed an extension. Now, we're hearing even Rapoport saying this offseason, but definitely the offseason before that. Same kind of thing you get with Wes Welker is, remember, he was really good the first half of the year with Denver. Then he got a concussion, and then he was kind of done. Like, that was really it for Wes Welker. And everybody said, hey, Bill got that one right. It's like, well, no, Bill also offered him a contract the year before, and he could have stayed here, and maybe he would have been terrible at the end of that contract too. But everybody looked at it like, a year too early rather than a year too late. And you're like, well, yes and no. Like, they were kind of fortunate that those guys – didn't sign a deal because Butler could be under contract for 4 more years if he signed.
And those people then would have there's no
then
answer
what do you
then.
Say?
There's
right.
no answer then.
No,
you
there's
can't,
there's,
oh well, I mean, we couldn't have seen how he. Was
but the victory
play this
lap.
Way. Oh, but because he's playing badly in Tennessee,
right.
he saw it coming.
But the victory lap for him not playing is worse. That's worse.
So
than
I agree. If it was so bad, it really was like you sit there and you look at the defense. Okay, who was at fault on defense? Who was the biggest problem on the Patriots defense in that Super Bowl?
The defensive backs
as
a group.
All of them.
I mean, I don't know who you single out. I guess Gilmore had a good game.
They made Nick Foles look like a Hall of Famer, so I would say they were all at fault.
Eric Rowe, Bademosi, Jordan Richards.
Well, I don't see Eric Rowe. I see Eric Rowe had a couple bad plays.
Yeah,
but
then
he settled down.
He gave up that touchdown
early. He was not the problem. So I'm like, all right, well, why are you taking Eric Rowe out? He's not the problem, and he started. So you have Eric Rowe as your corner, then you have Gilmore as your other one. Then there was a lot of safety play. Because I was like, okay, well, how was he going to get in the game? Well, he's going to have to play in the slot. Well, that was Bademosi's. So the only way he was going to get in is if either Gilmore or Eric Rowe got hurt. That was the only way he was going to play. Neither one of those guys got hurt, so you didn't see him. So as bad as it was, and you say, well, Bademosi should have taken Bademosi. Well, Bademosi was on the slot. Does Butler know the slot? I just heard a soundbite saying that, he wasn't prepared. So if he wasn't prepared to play corner, why would you even think about putting him in as a slot?
Because he's shown enough ability where
he doesn't know what to do.
But the best thing he does, right, and Jerry mentioned this week, that he thought at some point, and he's not the only one, people always thought he might end up being a better safety than cornerback. He's a great tackler, Christian. That's what they missed in that position. So I maybe you're right that he wasn't prepared, but isn't the thing
seems like that's what he said.
Isn't this the thing with the Patriots? These guys are always prepared. They know the safety role, the cornerback role.
That's
they're able to do two or three different things. I would say for his tackling ability alone, he should have found his way on the field in some
way. I mean, that's just as simple as that. He's got to be out there.
617-779-7937, the phone. And we'll talk about this with Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, bottom of the hour at 10:30. We'll come back. Gronk is not going to play, it sounds like, in Tennessee. Sonny Michel likely to play against Titans. We'll get to that and your calls. NFL Sunday, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.